Tell it to the world around. Go preach it and tell it today. To people in sorrow. And tell it tomorrow. Preach the word of God that we salvation is full and free.
To sinners spread the news all over the land and sea.
Go teach it and tell it afar in every nation, all over creation.
Praise the Lord. Salvation has been brought down. Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? Some of you look like you need a hug this morning. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love him, sing it. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't know what. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me his, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me, and he watches over me. Come on, sing it with me. He watches over me, and you don't know what he's
done for me.
Oh yes, he gave me
the victory,
and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave
me victory.
Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. I wanted to sing some more, but I'm scared I'm going to lose my voice this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church. You're honored guests. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We do apologize for the technical difficulties. We're a little bit dark in here this morning. We had a power outage or something happened, and it knocked out our screens and everything, but we can still worship the Lord this morning. Yes, I know sometimes we get so dependent on technology and it spoils. Some of you act like you didn't want to sing this morning. But you're waiting for the words to pop on the screen. But that's all right. That's all right. Some of you from the country, you didn't have all that anyway. You didn't have that. You just came in and sang songbooks. We started a lesson series a few weeks ago entitled The Apologetics Series, Apologetics Series, and we are on the fourth lesson of the series, Apologetics, from the word apologia, not apology, but to me it means to defend, defending the faith. Apologetics is necessary. It is modeled in the Bible as the apostles, when they were delivering the doctrine of Christ, even Jesus, the Apostle Paul in Acts 19 and verse 8, it said he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Not arguing with folks. Now, some folks are good at arguing. And sometimes you don't get your point across when two people are debating and arguing. But there are times that you need to be able to defend what you believe. Or you need to be able to help people see what the truth is. Kind of reminds me of the young man told me one time, he said, you know, the truth is relative. And you may have heard that before also, is relative. You know, the truth is is in another, and everybody's truth is different. It depends on who you are, where you are. And I hear that, but I hope you don't live that way. And it amazes me that really only in the realm of religion do we really say that, because there are absolutes in everything that we do. If you play sports, you have some rules in sports. If you play basketball and you're in a professional basketball game and you shoot a three-pointer, if your foot is on that line, it don't count for 3 points. I don't care what you say, and you can say, you can tell the referee, it's all relative. You don't get 3 points for your foot being on the line. You go to the bank and try to get some money and give them a check, and it's a blank check, and tell them, well, just give me whatever I feel. They're gonna give you what's in your account, and that's all. The truth is, we just don't operate that way. There are rules in life. If you're on your job and you know you're supposed to be to work at 8 o'clock, you go and tell your boss, I'm gonna just, you show up at 10 o'clock. He said, why are you not here at 8 o'clock? And he said, well, I just felt like 10 o'clock today. You keep doing that, you'll be fired, amen, somebody. Why do you show up at 8 o'clock? Because that's a part of the employee's manual who the boss man wrote. And if you don't follow it, you're in a whole lot of trouble. And then when it comes to our faith, we say that truth is relative. Well, and that's why we've delivered some of the messages. The messages, and I don't have time to review them all, introduction showing that apologetics and defending the faith and contending for the faith is a part of our faith. And we have to do it. We need to know why we are here this morning. We need to know why we gather as the Church of Christ in a gathering to worship our great God. You need to know why you got baptized. Why you got baptized? For what reason did you get baptized? So you can tell somebody else what you did. And so we see the need to be able to defend the faith and to persuade men. The next lesson was, does God exist? Basic lesson, but if a person don't believe that God exists, you can't open the Bible with him. Because you have to have a grounded faith that in the beginning, God is the boss. God is in control of it all. And we delivered that message. And we delivered the message on last Sunday. Is the Bible inspired? Do we have a manual? Do we have an instruction guide? Because after it's all said and done, if we all get up and say what we want to say, there's no need in us having a preacher. Because everybody in here right now has an opinion on how you think things ought to run. But it's not our opinion that's going to get us to heaven. It's God's word, and we tried to demonstrate that on last Sunday without going into grave detail. Some of the lessons are, I think, starting to be online, and we do have them available today, this morning. The deity of Christ, the deity of Christ. I want you to stay with me, and I know the screens may not pop up the scriptures, but hopefully you have your Bibles. You do know to bring your Bibles to church, don't you? Amen. I know technology. And I know some of you have your handheld, your computers, your iPads. That's okay. I remember one time I got up here and I said, you need to turn your phones off. And one brother told Brother Gary, my Bible is on my phone. Just make sure it's the Bible you're looking at this morning and not ESPN. Amen. Let me dive in. But stay with me, if you. It's kind of a technical lesson. And I know this is repetitious to many of us, but we still need it. I could preach a lesson every Sunday on Jesus, and God would be pleased. Amen. Amen. And now you might not be pleased that much, but we can tie in Jesus to every aspect of our lives. That's how important he is. See, the word deity means supreme being. It's what separates. It's what separates Jesus from any you name a smart person, any individual, any person that you look up to intellectually, athletically, whoever he or she may be, and they can't scratch the scratch to Jesus. Notice. We lifted up God as our existence, the God as the creator. the ultimate God we serve. In the beginning, God created heaven. But you got to understand that when we study the Bible, we see Jesus is God. Lord have mercy. That statement would confuse a lot of folks, would offend some people, because deity means supreme, divine in nature. In other words, not of this earth. Yeah, see, I don't know, you know, you watch technology and television and all of these high-tech movies that come on, and they show these characters that are able to, you know, I like high tech, you know, some of you kids watch Transformers, and a car turns into a monster. And it impresses us, and we say, man, you know, we watch the Fantastic Four, this movie where these one man turns into a fireball, and one, you know, they have this, that's TV.
Amen.
That's high tech. But do you know somebody in person, physically, that can do those things? You can't do that without maneuvering. But Jesus is supernatural. And the word deity means supreme. Now I'm diving into see apologetics is being able to deal with intellectual questions people have about our Christianity and about our faith. And we're not offended when people ask questions. And now sometimes we as older saints, we get mad and want to argue, well, why you believe that? Well, just calm down a little bit. You know, some people just want to know. Now, there's some who don't care what you tell them, they still not going to believe. But there's some who are confused. And so we are trying to reach those and save some of our young people who are really confused, who are bombarded with many more things than what you were bombarded with 50 years ago. 50 years ago, everybody pretty much believed in the Bible. There are folk who reject the Bible for a number of different reasons right now. And so I'm defending things that I know there others are teaching that I believe are erroneous according to the Word of God. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They claim that Jesus was the first being created by God. It's one of their statements that they make, and you can find it in writing. They say Jesus was created before the other sons of God's families. They teach that Jesus was a perfect man, that nothing more, nothing less. Now, if you're reading the Bible, if you're studying the Bible, I believe that the Bible does not teach that, my brother. And all the love I have. Now, this is not anything against the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I know some of you might be saying, Brother Gary, hammer on them. Hammer. Well, let's just teach what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Now, we know this is a biased audience. But if I was in a Jehovah's Witness atmosphere where the whole place was Jehovah's Witnesses, then I need to be careful how I walk down. Notice, if I want to penetrate and affect their minds that they will listen to the Word of God. Now if I want to just beat up on somebody, I just get up and scream and say, you wrong, and it might say something like, you going to hell. Oh, have mercy. Is that Christ-like?
No.
Not at all. But let me see if I can teach what the Scriptures teach this morning. Is that all right? I'm going to stop on time. Last week I went over time. I wasn't watching the clock, and I need to stop on time. So stay with me and be quiet, kind of, not too quiet. Scripture teaches that Jesus is eternal. See, that's a part of being part of deity. Scripture teaches that Jesus is eternal. The brother read in you hearing a few moments ago, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Notice, I have to read the Scripture because you don't want to know my opinion. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. And you would see that this is talking about God and his religion. Jesus Christ transcended us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. See, this life on earth, to be in right standing with God, we have to be in right standing with his Son. And you got to know the message. You don't. This is foundational. He says, in whom we have redemption. We need redemption, don't we? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we need to be redeemed. The forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Underline firstborn. Now that confuses a lot some people. I'll explain that in a minute. But the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Notice this. Jesus created everything. Now, you just read the Bible and you see that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it seems like God, these roles that this body, this Trinity, this oneness, this one God, these roles that they have, they're one, but they have different roles. God, the mind, mastermind, Jesus, the creator. In other words, no, this is what it says, both in the heavens and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Notice, everybody say all things. All things have been created through him and for him. Everything that exists in this world was created by who? Jesus. Notice this. Now, I know I haven't given you enough yet, but I'm going there. But this is how important Jesus is. So, you know when they say the buck stops? You go no further. Jesus is the creator. Notice this, John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. What's the Word, Brother Gary? The Word was with God. Notice this, what's the Word, Brother Gary? The Word was God. I made a statement earlier that Jesus is God. Now notice this, the Word was God. You might not understand, how can Jesus and God be God? Because Jesus is God. God is Jesus. Now listen, how can somebody say, let there be light, and that was light? Because it's not you doing it. It's God. That's what distinguishes. That's why you need to be listening. If God can do that, don't you think he can zap you? He was in the beginning. Notice this. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Notice, everything came through him. And I still need to go further. Some minds look confused. Drop down to verse 14, John 1:14. And the Word became flesh. So just for us to understand that the Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. We were able to look at Jesus, his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's where sometimes the Jehovah's Witness and others, not just the Jehovah's Witness, the Arian doctrine teaches that Jesus was a created being. They equate begotten and firstborn with origin. They say, well, if he was the firstborn, that means he was created. Well, notice, just study the Bible a little bit more. Now, while one of the Greek words for firstborn can denote the first that comes out of the womb, whether it's man or beast, for instance, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, Exodus 13, I'm going kind of swiftly. I wish these scriptures were up here, but just you can have my notes. If you want them afterwards, I'll send them to you to get all the scriptures. You can turn them to them. Exodus 13, 2. Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me. In that instance, the word for firstborn does mean the firstborn out of the womb. It does mean that. It's obvious it means that in this particular verse. But every time the word firstborn is used in the Bible, it does not mean origin. The meaning is an expression of rank, of preeminence, not origin, not order of birth. A clear example is seen in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9. Jeremiah 31:9. With weeping they will come, and my supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters on a straight path in which they will not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Now, notice this. If you know your Bible history, you know that Ephraim was not the firstborn in the family. How do you know that? Go to Genesis chapter 48, verse 14. Genesis 48:14. Stay with me. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger. He was not the firstborn. He was not the oldest. And his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, the scripture calls Ephraim the firstborn because Ephraim would be the highest in rank, not the first one born. See, some people say, well, Jesus was the firstborn of all creation, so that means that he was created. No, God was just explaining that Jesus is more important. He is higher rank than anything on this earth. That's what he was talking about. Another example is in Psalms chapter 89, verse 27. Psalms 89, 27. Of David, he said, I also shall make him my firstborn. Now, he was not the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. So understand what the scripture is talking about. In this particular context, in Colossians chapter 1, we were reading, it was employed as a designation of rank to lift Jesus up where he is supposed to be. That's what it was talking about. But Gary, explain it a little further. Further proof of this, Christ's deity. We're talking about the deity of Christ and putting him where he belongs, where he should be, and where he should be in all of our lives. Go back to Colossians chapter 1 and drop down to verse number 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. Students, you stay with me. You have a pop quiz afterwards. He is also the head of the body. Notice, the church. Boy, that's next week. That's next week or 2 weeks from now, the church. He's also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. So that he himself will come to have first place in some things. In all things. Some of your pastors say in everything. He'll have first place. He's talking about the rank. Now notice some of you probably in here right now, if you really studying, you know that. Wait a minute, that scripture says Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Well, if it meant origin, it means that Jesus was the first person that we can read about that was raised from the dead. And you know that's not right in the Bible. Because even in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, if we had time, I'd read it. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow's son was raised from the dead by the prophet. You read that on your own here in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning verse 18 through verse 22. Then we know that Jesus, while Jesus was on earth, he raised Lazarus from the dead. In John chapter 11 and verse number 17, you remember that? Now, but the scripture said Jesus was the firstborn. Well, if it meant the origin, then that would mean that Jesus was not the firstborn from the dead. And that means that the Bible was wrong. Well, that's not what it meant. What does it mean, Brother Gary? See, unlike the others who were resurrected, that young man, that widow young man, and Lazarus, unlike they who were resurrected, Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead who would die no more. And that's a big difference, my brother, my sister. Because you let somebody say, I worked at a funeral home, and I saw a lot of folk go down in that grave. And I'm telling you, I haven't yet. And if I did see one come up, I know somebody did something to them. But when dead folks die, they don't raise up. Amen. Yeah. They don't raise up. You see, now, Christ is firstborn from the dead in that he demonstrated his power over the grave. Everybody say power.
Power.
See, the power is what we need to be looking for. Yeah, see, you, when you want something done, you need somebody who has some. Somebody that got some power can get some things done. You be trying and trying and trying. Somebody with some power can get on the phone and say, listen, I need you to do this. And somebody that got some power can get it done. You can talk all day. Some of you can't even get through the secretary when you're calling somebody that you need to talk to. Well, can I talk? No, he's not available. You can't talk to him. She's not available. You have to make an appointment. We don't have an appointment for another year. But somebody got some power, cannot call the secretary. They can go straight to the person. Dial that number and say, listen, man, come on over here so I can get this. And you say, well, how did they do that? It's because they got the power. Amen, somebody. And Jesus has the power Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 19. Everybody, you still with me? I'm not through yet. He said, John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered them. This is when he was answering some of his distractors, and he was not telling them the whole story, but he was giving them a piece. He was prophesying. They didn't know what he was talking about. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Now that's crazy talk for somebody. You know, they didn't know what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about a physical temple. He said, you destroy this temple in 3 days. Notice, Jesus had the power. I know somebody said, Brother Gary, God raised Jesus from the dead. How could you say that God raised Jesus? Jesus didn't raise himself. Well, that's because you understand that Jesus is God.
Amen.
Yeah, he said, I raise this temple up myself. Notice, this in the Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Romans 6 and 9. This is an apologetics lesson. It's detailed. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again.
Yes. Thank you.
If there was anything I wish that I could do, anything I wish I could stop funerals from happening. But we can't stop that, can we? Yeah, I decided I want to be connected to somebody who knows what happens after death, who can stop death, who can stop sickness. Yeah, and see, notice it says death no longer is master over him. And I know that might sound vague to you right now. But see, I'm understanding. I'm trying to understand the deity of Jesus, who we have connected. Some of us, we wasting time. We trying to get in with the wrong people. Yeah, and I you know, now I'm middle aged, and my wife and I were visiting my daughter, and we went walking in the neighborhood. And we were just we walked around the block, and she stays in the area that's some of the housing rights. I mean, it's, you know, in L.A. you might see anybody. And we were walking, and I saw this guy walking by, and he had a hat on and some glasses. And Karen was talking, she didn't see him, and I looked at him. I said, I know him. And I kept on walking. I said, KB, I can't think of his name. I know him. That's a star. It's a movie star. And she said, let's go see. I said, girl, come on. Mind if we go see that man? You know my wife. She just got to see everything. Let's go ask him. I said, we're not going to talk to him. And I said, and she said, well, who is it? I said, baby, I can't think of who he is. And I was walking. I said, what's that man's name? What's his name? And we went back to where my daughter was. And we was. I said, I got on the internet. I said, I got to find. I know who this is. And I don't know why I was doing all that. He wasn't fixing to do nothing for me. But it was the guy. You seen the movie Shawshank Redemption? Any of you seen that movie? Shawshank. It was the guy, Rollins, I think it was the last. Some of you still don't know who he is. But some of us get so excited, and we want to meet people. And we want to rub. So and so came to me. Remember not long ago, what's his name came to church? Common. Common came to worship service, didn't he? Not to me, you know, worship service is open to anybody.
Amen.
And I knew of Common, but I didn't know that much of him. And somebody said, when I was got back, but okay, Common is here. I'm like, who is Common? And I'm like, why you don't get excited? Brother Gary's here. Lord have mercy. Yeah, and don't spend too much of your energy, your time, your money trying to impress the wrong people. No. Guess who's here today? The scriptures say where two or three are gathered together. That's why I'm here today.
Amen.
I want a fellowship with the one who has the power.
Yes.
this morning. Lord have mercy. Don't get me excited this morning. Yes, notice. Jesus in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. And she, this is a prophecy of Isaiah, and she will call his name Emmanuel. You know what the name Emmanuel translates mean? God with us. Notice, now, God is with us, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah 9. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Now, this is not, notice, this is Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is just a man. He's a perfect man and nothing more, nothing less. He's not eternal, and surely Jesus is not God. Notice what the scriptures say. A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. Now, I think this scripture is in the Bible to demonstrate to us that Jesus did come in human flesh. He was a child. It is talking about Jesus. And his name will be called, notice, Wonderful Counselor. What would he be called, Brother Gary? Mighty God. No, what would he be called? Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus was not created. He's always been here. Amen, somebody. According to the scriptures. How do you know, Brother Gary? Psalms chapter 9, verse 2. This is out of the word of God. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. What does everlasting mean? It's self-existent one. He's always been here. There was no beginning. I just don't understand that because I had a beginning because you're not God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There is no end. Yes, without a doubt. See, you got Jesus too low if you think he was created. Yes, yes, yes. He was not created. Yeah, there are others who declare. My goodness, is that clock right? Ooh, my goodness. There are others who declare Jesus is a copycat myth that originated from other pagan myths. This is notice now, to some of you older, you might not have heard this, but this is a teaching, Kersey Graves. Now, this is not new teaching. Kersey Graves, he wrote a book entitled The World's 16 Crucified Saviors. The World's 16 Crucified Saviors. And he was a writer in the 19th century, and he's an author. He believed Christianity was just created from pagan myths. He's not the only one. Some of you may have seen the series by Brian Flemings, I mentioned last week, The God Who Wasn't There. He would attest the same. The series about the Hidden Colors 1 and 2, the documentary, some on there would attest the same, that there were other Jesuses who lived. Kersey Graves was one who most noted scholars today have denounced his work, as his research was so sketchy. His work was so outlandish that they've renounced him as not credible. But there are many who quote, who, you know, some of us, we listen to everything and repeat anything. Where'd you find it? On the internet? Who told you that? I heard it somewhere. We were talking in the barbershop. You need to always consider the source. Notice. And ask for specific. I'm going to go with a couple of specifics just because of time. Just for the sake of, for instance, Kersey Graves, he mentions these, he mentions not only him, there are others who mention some of the myths, the pagan myths. And to find information on it is so difficult. Some of the gods, I have them listed here. Krishna. Now, Krishna, many of the critics, they say that this word means Christ, but it is the Hindu, it's a Hindu name that is given to one of the Hindu gods. And they say that this name means Christ, but even when you go to their religious documents, now not the Bible, but their religious writings, it tells you who this is, and it has nothing to do with Christ. And they will say that Jesus, the elements of Jesus' birth and his his crucifixion. They say you can find this comment in a lot of pagan gods and what they did. Jesus, with Christianity, has just picked up some of these pieces, and they're saying things about Jesus that were done about all of these other pagans. And that's the argument that they give. But when you read the details of what they said about these deities, they don't match up. For instance, the word Krishna, it actually translates not as Christ, but as black one, because Krishna was believed to have blackish, bluish skin. And see, the word Christ, we know it translates as the anointed one, anointed one. That some would say that, you know, they say, but Christian, he had a virgin birth. Well, when you look in the Hindu religious documents, you'll see that that's never mentioned about him having a virgin birth. What it does say is this, that Krishna, his parent, Krishna was the eighth child of his parents in the Hindu documents. They claim Krishna was born to, the critics say Krishna was born to Virgin Maya, M-A-I-A. But according to the Hindu text, he was the eighth son of Princess Devaki and her husband, I can't pronounce his name. But that's in their documents. There is no mention. They say, well, the shepherds and the wise men, they appeared at Krishna's birth. Well, when you go to their text, Krishna was born in a prison, not in a stable, and where his parents had bore him in secret. That's what it says about him. Now, notice this. Like Jesus' early father, some of the critics would say Krishna's father was a carpenter. Well, when you look in their documents, it does not say that Vasudeva, whatever his name is, was a carpenter. It says that he was a nobleman in the courts of Mathura as he was married to Princess Devaki. Now, in the repeating of who Krishna is, trying to say that Jesus' story was intercepted or copied by the Hindus or other gods, they would say that Krishna was crucified. But when you look in their actual documents, it mentions nothing like that in the Hindu text. Instead, we are told exactly how he dies. It says, Krishna is meditating in the woods when he accidentally was shot in the foot by a hunter's arrow. This is in their documents. And I'll quote, I'll even read a sentence out of the document. It says, the hunter mistaken Krishna, who was stretched on the earth in high yoga, for a deer pierced him at the heel with a shaft and quickly came to the spot for capturing his prey. Can I tell you how hard it was for me to find this? And there are those who say that these pagan gods, Jesus just copied. Well, Jesus didn't copy it from Krishna. And then last week I covered a lot of the messianic prophecies. Prophecies that were prophesied by the old prophets of the Old Testament. And these prophecies prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. They prophesied 300 prophecies in them, and the Hindu text comes after many of those prophecies. So that Jesus' story wasn't copied from the Hindu text. It was just fulfilled from the Old Testament. The Buddha, Gautama, and he did live from 563 to 483 B.C., before Christ. And it's where he achieved what is called enlightenment. And he became the Buddha. He was the enlightened one. He was a monk, and he was the founder of Buddhism. Notice this. And he was born to his mother and his dad and his mother, Maya, M-A-Y-A. You notice the close resemblance to Mary, not Mary, but Maya. But they had been married for 20 years. No virgin birth. Although some would say, well, he had a virgin birth. Well, he wasn't born. They had been together for 20 years. Notice this. And so many others, Buddha was not crucified. No, he was not crucified. It said One quote out of the book says, but he be so good as to spread me on my couch. I'm weary and wish to lie down. They say he was 80 years old or so when he died. Then the Buddha fell into a deep meditation, and having passed through the four jhanas, he entered nirvana. That's how he died. So I don't see where Jesus, the Christian story, copied anything from some. I wish I had time to read them all. I have 16 other gods, so-called gods with a little G, that Kirsty Graves mentions and says that these guys, that's where Jesus' story was copied for. I say foolishness. Amen. Some of you young folks, when somebody come to you with this foolishness, tell them, give me your source. Show me where you found this. And you test the source. Amen. And you test the motivation by some of this, because it is confusing some of our students, some of our young men, and some of our older ones. Amen. You stick with the scripture, what the scripture says. John chapter 10 and verse number 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That's what the scripture says. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me, is what the prophet Isaiah said. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. There has never been a time that Jesus was not. Period. According to the scriptures. Now let me say this before I sit down this morning. I wish I could go into even more detail. Notice this. When Jesus was on this earth in John chapter 12, verse 48, he said, he who rejects me, this is why this is so important. This is why we can't let this one slide. This is why you can't be calling Jesus something that he's not and be pleasing to God. This is why, this is where you know, you speak the truth in love, but the truth must be spoken. Have you ever had somebody that you know they were going down the wrong road? You haven't been saying anything to them. You know they were going, and they just going. You say, well, I'm going to just leave them alone. Well, if you leave them alone, they're going to keep going. And so this is where you say, well, I need to say something. I need to give them the truth. And you know, when you really think about it, if you don't give a person the truth, do you really love them? And this is where some of us who don't like conflict and we don't like to, well, leave people, just let everybody do what they know. This needs to be said. We need to get the blood off of us. If you know what's right, Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not notice, this is the test of your love for God. And does not receive my sayings or my commandments, has one who judges him. Now, this is where the roles change. You have God the Father. Jesus is on this earth. He came to this earth, and Jesus has poured his soul out to us. But God going to judge us. Yeah, he's going to judge us. Yeah, it's going to come a time where you say, well, I do what I want to do. Yeah, you do what you want to do right now. Sometimes our kids say that, well, I'm not no child no more. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. And my kids are quote unquote grown. And you strong arm your kids, you know, you're going to do what I say you're going to do. Oh, yeah, you're going to do it. And you can get away with that for a little while. Then you just have to kind of let them, because you can't make them. And if, oh, I can make them. Yeah, you can make them while they're in front of you. Well, you know, when they're away from you, they do what they want to do. Yeah. But there's going to come a time. The scriptures say, every knee shall bow. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm to the point now where, you know, sometimes you see people strong-arming, people messing over people, you know, husband's not acting right, wives not acting right, children not acting right, church members not acting right. And, you know, you pray and you're trying to be passive and you pray, you're trying to, you know, you leave them alone. But, once you decide you're going to live for God, you're going to do what's right, once you decide you're going to do it, then, you know, sometimes you get tired of people messing over folk. You know, some people, not at this church, but at some churches, they have some members who just all they do is raise Cain. Thank the Lord we don't have no members like that here. But don't you know one day God gonna make everything right? You're not gonna have to do it. He says, you have one who judges him. The word which I spoke is no, that's why we have to stay in the word, is what will judge him in the last day. The same, no, God knows the scripture because he wrote the scriptures. Amen. Okay, I want to get a divorce. My wife, I'm just tired of her. She's mean, and I just want to get a divorce. Well, you better check yourself. Before you divorce her, you better ask God. You shouldn't have said that. No, I needed to say that. Because we all have some faults, don't we? She mean, but you lie. Whoop, excuse me, I didn't mean to go there. That's a whole different topic. Colossians 1:18 again. He's also head of the body. The church. Oh, that's the next lesson. He is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place. First place. You know what first place is, don't you? Yeah, see, when you're married, your spouse comes before, has first place when it comes to relationships. Isn't that right, married folks? For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother. No, but I got to take care of my mother. Well, take care of your wife first. Oh, no, you shouldn't have said. No, that's not what I said. Isn't that what the Bible says? Now, that doesn't mean that you neglect your mother, but before you go over there running, spending 2 weeks with your mama, you better check with your. I told you, that's a whole nother lesson. Yeah. See, yeah, first place in everything. You know that we, like this morning, God was first place in your priorities this morning, thank God. Because you came to worship God on the first day of the week. We all here in assembly to God. God's not first place in a whole lot of people's lives. You got folk, you know, you have that people on the lake right now catching some bass. Up here, just think about that. Well, you know, this is my only day. Really? Let's see. We started at 8:00, it's 9:15, we'll be out by 9:55, 8 to 10:00. You mean to tell me that the one who sustaining you right now, who bless you to be able to go get a job, if you got a job or you got a business, you got a little money in the bank, you bought the fishing poles, you might even have a boat. The one who bless you and you got health enough, you can get up, you eat like a hog. And you don't have 2 hours out of 20, excuse me, 3 with Bible. Thank you, Brother Barry. You don't have that much time to give to the Lord. Notice that, because see, worship is Thanksgiving. It's honor. It's giving God what's due him. That's all it is. Well, God, I ain't got but one day. And you stay on the lake for 9 hours, burn it up in the sun, catch 2 fish. first place. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I tell your neighbor, except you repent, and unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, he will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, he will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth not shall be damned. You be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, 10. We receive a crown of life. Yes, somebody needs to be saved this morning. Somebody needs to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. Won't you come? If there's somebody that needs prayer, won't you come? If there's somebody that needs to get something right, won't you come as we sing the song?
Careless soul, why will you linger? Wandering from the full of God, hear you not. The invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Hearless soul, oh, heed the warning,
and
for your life will soon be gone. Oh, yes, your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
And why so thoughtless
are you standing?
Why?